Power is not a means, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. And this week's opening quote comes from George Orwell. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, it would appear that with everything that the independent media has done, everything that we've seen, everything we've predicted, everything we've been able to identify, through it all, it would still seem that so many members of the independent media simply can't see what's coming. They can't see the smart grid, or maybe they can see the smart grid, but they're simply not paying attention to it. And there's been so many plays lately, there really has. On one hand, we have people sitting back, waiting for the whole QAnon phenomena to unfold, believing that government is magically going to save them from government. In the middle of all this, we have the deletion of the Alex Jones channel, which again puts the left against the right. Corbett did a great report of how that's going, and people aren't really looking at that properly, and they're not comprehending that what it's actually about is freedom of speech. It isn't about regulation. It isn't about this. It isn't about control. It isn't about left. It isn't about hate speech. It isn't about right. It's about freedom of speech, and that's all it's about. And that's all any of this is about freedom. But that's what we've got happening on one hand, on the more academic side of things, should we say, the more philosophical side of things. And then on the other hand, we have the more conspiratorial side of the independent media, a lot of that, which is very valid as well. But on that hand, so many people seem to be stuck in tunnel vision. So many people have succumbed to the so many distractions and circular arguments and rabbit holes and different conspiracy theories we've got to unravel and the people we've got to point the finger at. But through it all, underneath it all, the smart grid has been continuing to roll out. I've been screaming out about this loudly for the last 3-4 years, very loudly for the last 12 months since the 5G system has began to be rolled out, and many people have become very aware of it, but there still has been an overall failure to gain any focus on this smart system and the tech and the algorithms and the AI and the censorship and the social crediting and everything that's coming along with it. Many people have just been distracted by their particular theories and by their particular rabbit holes. And sure, many people have done a great job on exposing all sorts of levels of corruption in all sorts of areas, but no one's been paying any attention to the tech. And this is truly where so many of the other options break down. It really is. It's where the QAnon option breaks down completely. Because people are waiting for Trump to come along and save things. They're waiting for all these pedophiles to be arrested. And even if there are mass arrests, let's say that there's a whole bunch of surface players that are arrested, a whole bunch of websites taken out of action, all of this stuff happens. Underneath it is the tech. Underneath it is the algorithms are going to be monitoring what everybody's posting on social media, putting black marks against their name if they post the wrong things. And the thing is, they won't even be able to post the wrong things. The way they're talking about it, folks, they'll have algorithms in place which will have Google's fact checker there. So that as you're typing a sentence, it will be watching what you're typing. And if what you're typing does not confirm with the officially labeled fact, then you simply won't be able to post it. You know, if you want to share some independent information, some alternate information, some alternate theory on what may have just happened with some school shooting or whatever, the algorithm simply won't let you post it to begin with. And QAnon and Trump are not going to change this. You know, and another thing with Trump, folks, like Trump supports Israel. I don't care what else he does on the ground. He supports that rogue state. The state that has just declared itself to be openly apartheid, asking all black people to leave. He's just approved moving the embassy to Jerusalem. He's rubber-stamped the genocide of the Palestinian people. He has not mentioned one single word about the thousands upon thousands of people that have been slaughtered in Yemen over the last few years. There was actually the first report on MSNBC the other day, the first report they've done in a year on the conflict in Yemen, which has been this ongoing conflict, virtually the longest bombing campaign in the history of war that's been waged by Saudi Arabia against this defenseless nation, and no one's hearing about it. Trump hasn't talked about any of this. Trump's also continuing to up trade tariffs with everybody, doing the best he can to isolate America from the rest of the world, isolate America from Europe, bring about the controlled demolition of America, and lead to a situation where the United States will lose its position as the world reserve currency and introduce the Chinese One Belt, One Road system. This is everything that I put out in a show a year ago called What's About to Happen, which was deleted from YouTube for bullying and harassment. You know, all of these things are going on, folks, and I'm not hearing QAnon address the smart grid. I'm not hearing QAnon address the tech. I'm not hearing Q address the algorithms, the social crediting. None of this is being addressed within the Q narrative. None of it. And it's the same with the other side of things and the more conspiratorial side of things. On the more conspiratorial side of the independent media, it's just become a mishmash of infighting and pointing the finger at everybody and hacking anybody down who doesn't comply with your chosen belief system. And while people are busy discrediting everybody else and trying to hack everybody else down and calling anybody who disagrees with them a gatekeeper, underneath it all, again, the smart grid is rolling out. And this infighting, this whole conspiratorial mindset and pointing the finger at each other and attempting to undermine everybody who thinks differently to you and calling them a gatekeeper is actually the best gatekeeping movement you've ever seen, because it prevents anything from happening. It prevents any focus from ever being gained. In many cases, it keeps real activists tied up in having to defend themselves all the time. And it prevents any real attention being directed towards the root of the problem. Everybody's too busy hacking down each other and calling everybody else a gatekeeper. That's how gatekeeping works, folks. That itself is a gatekeeping operation. How is it gatekeeping? Well, it's gatekeeping because it keeps everybody locked into this enclosure, arguing and pointing the finger at each other and never focusing on those who hold the keys to the enclosure. That's how gatekeeping works, folks. They keep you locked in a pen. And that's what all this infighting is about. That's what all the accusations are about. Anybody who's calling someone they've never met a gatekeeper is performing a gatekeeping operation themselves, and half the time they don't even know it. I mean, sure, there are gatekeepers that we know are gatekeepers who will lead you part of the way somewhere, but then not give you the rest of the information. People like Alex Jones, I would suspect, is very likely a gatekeeper, but there's other obvious gatekeepers. People such as Noam Chomsky, who'll give you all sorts of incredible philosophic information, but he'll do it over 100 books when he could have done it in one, and he'll tell you that there's no way 9/11 was staged. This is gatekeeping. But within the independents, in the independent media and the alternative media, all calling people gatekeepers does is create distrust and prevent any focus from ever being achieved against the system. And that prevention of obtaining any focus and that prevention of ever creating any real active response that is created by this type of dialogue is itself gatekeeping. This is why you don't see me posting videos about other people, folks. You don't see me hacking down other researchers. No matter how much I disagree with them, no matter how much I get attacked by other researchers, you don't see me respond and start posting videos about them and getting into YouTube battles and all the things that people try to get you to do, which is all a distraction from what we should be paying attention to, which is the controlling hand at the top and the smart grid that's being rolled out underneath everything, the algorithms, the smartphones, all the stuff that we're being compelled to use. And the thing is, if people could just agree to disagree on whatever their belief systems are and allow others to be open-minded or whatever it is, I mean, just agree to disagree. People have to understand they don't know what's going on. None of us really know what's going on. And put their egos down and get some focus on the actual control grid. Because if we could just do that, focus on the control grid, we could heal the world in a day. The unfortunate thing is that people are just not willing to do that. They just seem to be locked into attempting to extract energy from other people rather than focusing on establishing the freedom that mankind so desperately needs to put this situation to rest and to heal the condition that we find ourselves in. Now, all we've got to do is get a little bit of focus, but we really do have to pull ourselves away from the tech. This is stuff that I get from people as well when I suggest that people throw away their smartphones. They say, well, gee, how would I ever listen to your radio show? Well, the way you did before they invented smartphones, folks, on your computer, on a laptop, on something else, not a phone. You know, you can access the internet through other devices that are not smartphones. You don't need to be carrying a scrying mirror around with you everywhere you go, a surveillance device tracking you, monitoring you everywhere you go. You don't need to be doing this. You can access the show and access the internet when you get home on your computer. That way, when you're out in a real world, you will actually be interacting with the real world and interacting with real people in real time. You don't need to be in the virtual world interacting with virtual people in a virtual world all the time when you're out in the real world with real people around you. That's the problem, you see. And that's why I suggest that people throw away their smartphones. I mean, I access the internet all the time, folks, and I upload YouTube clips and do all the stuff that I do, and I don't use a smartphone. So, just a thought. You know, just a thought, because the only reason they're able to roll this smart grid out is because we just use it by matter of course, and we construe it to be convenient to be using these things, but really, it is the surveillance grid itself. That is the New World Order, the smart grid. A technological dystopia, removing all of our connections to reality in the real world and real things that we used to do to each other, like talking to each other, having eye contact with each other, handing money over to each other at a shop counter, removing all this and putting it all in a virtual digital world so you can be locked out of your life because your life exists only in the digital realm. That's the way it's becoming, folks. You know, this is how the wars are able to be fought. This is how the smart grid is able to be rolled out. You know, this is how our politicians are able to get away with all the things they're getting away with. This is how come we've got so much theater in the world at the moment and everything is just casual. Everything is just the way it is. This is how come they're able to stage this fake gas attack in Syria a few months ago and just brush it all off. Oh, well, never mind. You know, look at the Australian Prime Minister, how he's able to get away with what he's doing because everyone's stuck in the virtual world. No one's paying attention. The Australian Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, this unelected Prime Minister we've got, one of his biggest claims to fame has to be using the Australian Air Force to provide air support for terrorists in Syria. Think about it, folks. The moderate rebels in Syria, as if there was such a thing as a moderate rebel. There are no moderate rebels in Syria. There's a mercenary force attempting to overthrow a democratically elected government is what's going on in Syria. But be that as it may, the moderate rebels that the Australian Prime Minister was supporting when he sent the Australian Air Force to bomb Syria a couple of years ago, these so-called moderate rebels are ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra Front. These are terrorist organizations that are attempting to overthrow a democratically elected government, and our Prime Minister used the Australian Air Force to provide air support for a terrorist force overseas. Why is this man not in jail? How is he able to support an internationally condemned terrorist force using the Australian Air Force and still remain out of jail? And yet people can claim that we've got law in this country and they can just fob it off like nothing happened because they're too busy looking at their smartphones and looking at all the icons and posting on Instagram. And they might even read it in the news and go, oh, what a terrible scandal. And I'll call it a scandal because it was a politician that did it. But it's not a scandal, folks. It's a crime. The man's a criminal. He supported international terrorism. He's a war criminal by default just from his actions. Even the fact that he supports the state of Israel, blah, blah, blah. We could go through that whole thing that I've gone through ad nauseum. Any politician who supports the state of Israel is supporting international war crimes anyway. So all this stuff is happening and people don't pay any attention to it. They're too locked in the virtual world. And even when they go out and start talking to people in the real world, half the time they're not talking about anything except what they're seeing on their smartphones. Half the time when they go out and have dinner or meet their friends, they're not even talking. They're just all gathered in the same place and they're all lost in their own virtual world on their smartphones while they all sit around together. That's the sort of world we've become. That's the sort of species we've got, folks. Either that or they're part of the independent media, part of the truth movement or whatever you want to call it, but half the time, even with that, they're just locked down a rabbit hole trying to get more information about something or more dirt on somebody else. So many people on YouTube have resorted to posting videos about each other and attacking everybody else and posting their analysis of what this other truth seeker said or whatever. It's just gotten so ridiculous. No one is paying attention. No one is looking at what the New World Order is, how quickly it's rolling out, and what steps we could take to circumvent it if we could just get a little bit of focus. But of course, we're not going to get that until we can get some unity. And while everybody is continuing to hack everybody down who doesn't comply with their own chosen belief system, we're never going to get anywhere. And the disturbing part about it is most people who are locked into belief systems also hack down anybody who keeps an open mind and simply isn't locked into any belief system. People who are still genuinely searching for the end of the rabbit hole and don't believe they've found it yet, sometimes these people get the most abuse because you must believe, you must lock yourself into a belief halfway down the rabbit hole again, folks. Perfect gatekeeping operations. But the bottom line here is that we do have to get some focus. We really do. You know, this smart grid is rolling out very quickly. All the algorithms and all the changes that are being made to social media, all the stuff that's going to come out of this theater that's just happened with Alex Jones, which is definitely contrived, definitely planned, definitely done to set a certain set of dominoes in motion. And it's all going to lead to tighter regulation of the internet. It's all going to lead to censorship. It's all going to lead to the rolling out of algorithms all designed to keep us safe, which are all going to keep us silenced, is what it's really leading to if we don't pay attention. And that's the thing, folks. We're never going to get anywhere until we've established freedom. We're never going to get freedom while we continue arguing and accusing each other of whatever. And while we're doing this, all these algorithms are rolling out. And very soon, it's not going to be very long, you're not going to have access to all the stuff you wanted to go and research anyway. All those video clips you're looking for, all those belief systems that you've got, all those things you're fighting to support those belief systems. You just won't have access to any of that information soon because it'll all get expunged from the internet. Because we were all too busy pointing the finger and infighting and arguing with each other while all of this tech and all these algorithms and all this whole smart system was being rolled out underneath everything while most people generally simply weren't paying attention. You know, that's something that often becomes the most frustrating in this work, is people wanting solutions to the situation that we're in, but not really seeing the situation that we're in themselves. And not seeing how their participation in the system is what is creating the situation. And people write to me and say, well, how do I stop participating in the system? What do I not shop? What do I not eat? What do I not live anywhere? No, you just step away from the technology. Shop with cash. Refuse to use all their smart systems. Refuse the smart meters. Refuse the 5G grid. Go back to living like a human being. Interact with people in the real world. You know, there's ways we can slow this system down by simply not complying with it right now. But, you know, ultimately we've got to step back and really see what the whole thing is. As I've said so many times, what we're dealing with here is a multinational criminal cabal. You've got to get this whole concept of nations and governments out of your mind. It's just one big corporate system that is being used to play people off against each other and play countries and nations off against each other in order to create this whole smart grid. That's what it's about. That's what it's always been about. That's what all these theaters of conflict are about. That's what the whole concept of nations are about. You know, nations in their current aspect, in their current situation, where they're all based on economic viability, so they've got to compete with each other for resources and all this stuff. This is just the result of the money system, the result of the banking cartels, the result of this whole corporate system that's been superimposed over our reality. And we need to see that for what it is. And there's many people who can see it for what it is, but yet they still believe they're going to find the remedy somewhere in government. And that really is something that amazes me as well. They think Trump's going to come along and save things. And sure, he may come along and heal things politically and we'll have a decent political system in place. But what about the smart grid? What about all that? Because government is soon to become irrelevant when it's all run by algorithms. Government will just be figureheads. I mean, they're just figureheads anyway. It's just a puppet show now. But it's going to become even more that way once it all turns over to algorithms and all becomes smart. And it's our participation in it. See, that's the solution. You really want to know how to stop complying with the system? Throw away your smartphone. Turn off your television. Start participating in your child's education and seeing what they're being taught at school. Start participating in what is taught at the school system. Start participating in what the politicians are doing and having a look at what they're doing and stop complying with it. That's how to defeat the system. That's how to stop what's coming. And people seriously have to stop creating enemies out of potential allies online, because that's what many people do with all this trolling and all these accusations that they throw at each other. It's all just creating enemies out of people that you haven't met. And why would you want to do that? That's what people try to do with me. They just try to create an enemy out of me for some reason. And Yet if they meet me in the real world, it wouldn't be like that at all. In the real world, I don't have any enemies. I quite literally don't know anybody that I don't get along with. I don't know anybody that dislikes me. I don't know anybody that I dislike. It's a weird thing. The only enemies that I have are these people, these trolls online, and it's the same for many people. They just adopt these belief systems, and they go out and they make enemies of everybody who doesn't have the same belief, and it's a very, very bizarre thing, and it doesn't achieve anything. Because as I've said, your greatest asset is the people around you, because ultimately we are all in the same position. We're all facing the same beast system. We're all facing the same smart grid. We're all facing the same criminal cabal. And the biggest asset we've got is the people around us. If we could just develop enough respect for each other to get a little bit of focus. You know, and so much of this system has been about compromising people's heart space, you know, getting people to close their hearts. You know, when you look at the education system, you look at the business system, and then you take that further into what's become this new digital system, this online system, people say things to each other online that they would never say to the face of a person. And they've been encouraged to do this over generations. Like I said, if you go and look at the education system, look at the business system, we may get taught to be compassionate people at home and at school. Maybe we did back in the early days. But then you go into the business world and you're taught to be ruthless in the business world. It creates a sociopathic mentality in people, a competitive mentality in people, which is really a sociopathic mentality. You know, the need to be the one at the top, regardless of what damage you do to other people. It's just good business sense when you can overtake another company and destroy someone's life. You don't really think of it as destroying their life. It's just, well, I was a smarter business person than them. So all this sort of behavior, it promotes this type of mentality in people. You do it over generations, and then you get to the online situations that we got now where, like I said, people say things to others that they would never say to their face. People accuse people of the most horrendous things simply because they have a different idea to them, believe a different thing to them. You know, and it all closes people's hearts down. And if we could just open our hearts to the people around us and just open our hearts to the world in general, we wouldn't have this situation. You know, as I've often said, everything the system does is just basically due to our tolerance of wrong behavior. That's how it's able to get away with all this stuff. That's how all these wars are able to be fought. That's how there's able to be homeless people on the street, because we just tolerate politicians writing legislation down which causes harm, and we just allow it to happen. As long as we're economically sound and we've got our money in the bank and we've got our roof over our heads and we can get to our supermarket in the morning, we're all good. That's the way we think. You know, the whole system has been designed to close down our hearts. And it's been taken to a new level with online communication. You know, it started off nice. It started off all friendly. Then it became more and more nasty, more and more about getting likes, more and more about being the one to get the attention. And very often people will attempt to get that attention at the expense of somebody else. They'll find someone who's got attention and they'll hack them down in order to get the attention of the people that are admiring this person because they want their fan base or whatever. It's this weird thing. And it's all led to a loss of humanity, a further dividing of people. You know, the smaller the world gets online and the closer people become to each other, the more divided they become from each other in many ways because of the type of communication that happens between people. You know, the type of communication that's lost in text. You know, you lose 90% of your communication in text. You're not getting body language. You're not getting the inflection of the voice. You're not getting the look in the eye. You're not getting the attitude, the humor, the persona of the person in what they're saying. All you're getting is what's written in text that we very often just take at face value and don't get the real human interaction that we're supposed to have when we have a human interaction. We don't have this. You can't have this online unless it's in some type of video chat, but even that is not really the right way of doing it. So the question is, how do we get this heart back into our communications with people? How can we establish this heart connection with people online? You know, and really the way to do it is to start developing again with people offline when you're out in the real world. Don't take the tech with you. Don't be on the tech all the time in the real world. Relearn these skills that you once had, because many people are losing them. Many people have never developed these heart skills. Many people have never developed these heart connections many young kids haven't, because they've had tech ever since they were old enough to use it. And this is really a big part of what's happened. It's a big part of how we've been led astray, how we've been led away from our humanity. You know, we've been led away from the essence of what really makes us human, which is other human beings, the company of people around us, the interaction of people around us. You know, nobody wants to live like an island. We all need the interaction of other people. And we find out about ourselves this way. We learn about ourselves. We learn who we are through our real interactions with other people. Well, it's a big part of it anyway. It's not all of it, but it's certainly a big part of it. And we've lost all of this with this whole education system, the whole compartmentalization of everything, all the peered classes that we get put into, where they're all competing against each other. There's no variation of ages in classes, so there's no real influence. It's just all competition, and the only influence you've got is the teacher and whatever problems they've got that they're all throwing at the students usually. And then leading away from that, leading onto that into the virtual world where it becomes all about Instagram and likes and how you can get your face out there and become a good business model and a good business achiever and all this other stuff. I mean, it's really removed us from our humanity to such an incredible degree that heart just doesn't come into it. Heart connections just don't come into it. Even with relationships, heart connections very rarely come into it these days. It's what you look like, or how good a partner we will be, how much of a success we may be if we're with each other. Love usually comes way below. It's usually lust or opportunity that creates relationships in many people these days, and that's a very unfortunate thing. It's an unfortunate thing to say, but it's a real thing to have to admit, because unfortunately it's true. You know, not in all cases, again, but in many cases, unfortunately it is. And again, it's all due to a loss of heart. See, that's the whole problem with the whole thing. That's why the system is even able to perpetuate and continue, because of our loss of heart. Really, it all comes down to us, folks. It always has. That's the way out. That's why no one can see it, because the answer lies within themselves. And that's the last place most people are prepared to look. But anyway, folks, I think we have reached break time here, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so in considering the opening quote by Orwell, the concept that you don't create a dictatorship to safeguard a revolution, you create the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. When you consider this concept and you look at the so-called truth movement, what it's done in undermining the government, exposing the government corruption. I mean, there's been a lot of elements of the truth movement that have worked well to expose corruption, but there's been certain sections in there that have been really attempting to whip up hatred, whip up violence, and whip up revolution. And what would be the purpose of this? Well, when you consider Orwell's opening quote, you see the purpose of it. And if you look at the writings of people such as Helena Blavatsky, the externalization of the hierarchy, what this actually means, the externalization of the hierarchy is exposing the mechanism of the control grid. And why would they do this? Again, it's in order to whip up public fervor, to plant the seed of rebellion in people's minds, to bring about some sort of a violent uprising. And this is why violent uprising and revolution is such a bad idea, and why simple non-compliance is the best idea. You know, revolution just brings about a violent clash, and those with the most weapons win. And at the moment, the government has the most weapons, folks. That's just the way it is. But non-compliance, it simply deactivates the system. It simply ceases to function because there's no mechanism holding it up anymore. But you look at this, and you look at this concept of the externalization of the hierarchy, and you begin to see why there were so many people in the independent media that were pushing fear on people. This is what got me started back in the beginning when I first started speaking out in 2008 and doing a radio show, was because there was just so much fear being pushed on people. And it didn't seem practical. You know, I was looking at all the things that were wrong with the world, and so many other people were looking at them as well, but so many people were just screaming in fear, fear, fear of all this terrible stuff that's coming down. And sure, there is a lot to be concerned about, but a lot of it almost seemed to be specifically designed to motivate people into a violent uprising. And a violent uprising is not going to achieve anything. I really don't believe that violence is the way forward. You know, I just don't believe in violence. I mean, having said that, I believe in counter-violence, not a problem. If someone comes for you, you should defend yourself against them, but you shouldn't be the one instigating violence. Because we can do all this without violence. We can do it by simply pulling our energy away from the system. Now, having said that, I do expect that if people do that, the system will react with violence, and in that situation, well, of course, counter-violence may be necessary. And when I say counter-violence, what I'm saying is absolutely you should defend yourself against anybody who attempts to take your liberties away. But there's no reason to start from that point, to just assume that these are the bad guys and we need to go kill them. It doesn't work that way. And the thing is that no matter how intimidating the powers that be present themselves as being, there's far more of us than there is of them, and we are the ones who give all the energy to the system. We give it all of its energy, and if we pull our energy away from it, then it doesn't matter. It can't function. It doesn't matter how many guards they may have there. There's far more of us, and there'd be simply nothing they can do in that type of a situation. Now, all we would really need would be to get a little bit of focus. And, of course, that's why the system is doing everything that it's doing. That's why the Trump presidency has been the way it is. I mean, there's so much theatrics going on in the world today. It's incredible to see. You know, the political theater, you notice how it's on and off again with North Korea, on and off with Russia, on and off with Syria, on and off with all of these relationships with all these different countries. And again, in the middle of it, we have the Alex Jones thing. So this puts the left against the right and the independent media as well. And we've got all of these theatrics going on. We've got QAnon going on. Everyone's sitting back waiting for this big event that's going to happen in November and all of this stuff. All posturing, all distractions, all theater, and so much of it at the moment, because now is the time the smart grid is rolling out. Now's the time the IoT is coming online. Now's the time the social crediting system is being rolled out. And they're doing everything they can to keep people distracted. You know, 10 years ago, I said that the most practical thing you could do to defeat this system is to put in a vegetable garden, start growing your own food, and to break down the barriers with your neighbors, to get to know the people next door, so that all the people in your street form one big community. You all know each other, and you all stand for each other, so that when the system does come for you, you can simply stop complying with it, and everybody will support each other in that non-compliance. You know, I always said that if you're baking a loaf of bread, bake an extra one and go and give it to your neighbors. If you're baking cookies or cakes, bake some extra ones and go and introduce yourself to your neighbors. Imagine if people had done this 10 years ago when I suggested that they did, and they now had these strong communal ties with the people, and they would all stand together in the face of the system. You know, 10 years ago, I was suggesting this, 10 years ago, we had this huge work bee where we ran around Byron Bay putting in edible gardens in people's front yards, encouraging everyone to start growing edible food and edible vegetables in their front yards rather than just having lawn and flowers, to turn it into a food forest, turn their whole street into a food forest. You know, you imagine if every street did this, if every street combined their forces into one friendly movement that all stood in support of each other, and every street did it. Imagine what would happen. They wouldn't have enough police. They wouldn't have enough people to be able to deal with a single suburb, let alone an entire city or an entire country that decided to do this. You know, I've said to people for the last 10 years, the greatest asset you've got is the people around you, because everybody is facing the same thing. And the most rebellious thing you can do against this system is to make yourself as self-sufficient as possible. Admittedly, I probably haven't said it for a few years, but it's all there in the old shows. I mean, I said the same thing over and over again in the first couple of years, trying to motivate people into getting themselves well established on the ground where they live. I said that for the first 3 or 4 years of this radio show. But then I figured, well, if you haven't done it by now, what's the point of me continuing to say it? But, you know, for those of you who have done that, who have established these strong ties in your community, you've got a real chance to make a stand against this system through simple non-compliance. And if people can't step back and really look and see how they've all been played through this system, how all of these divisive mechanisms have been put there, to play different belief systems off against each other, to play different races off against each other, different social classes, different nationalities, different political beliefs, sports teams, you name it. It's all divide and conquer, folks. And it's the same in the independent media and the truth community. In the last 3 or 4 years, that has all developed into divide and conquer. The whole thing has become one huge mishmash of division and infighting, opposing belief systems and instant distrust and accusations of anyone who doesn't comply to your belief system. Very, very polarized thinking has been introduced into the truth community, and it never used to be that way. It used to be very open, very free thinking, open to all options, but now it's extremely polarized. But really, it's all been one big play. And when you look at the fear campaigns coming from both government and the media about all this left-right stuff that's going on in the world stage, the fear campaigns that are coming from the independent media about all this stuff that's going to come out and microwave you and all this stuff that's terrible and imminent and all these things, then you look at the whole Q campaign, it's just a complete schmozzle, folks. Everybody's running around like chickens with their heads cut off. No one knows where they're going. No one can see what they're doing. And many people simply can't see the forest for the trees, and it's all one big puppet show, folks. It's all theatrics. You know, I often wish people would just stop and take the time to look around them. I really do. Just look at their surroundings, look at the environment that they're living in, look at the tasks they're forced to perform every day, and step back and ask themselves what it really has to do with life, any of it. Now, it just amazes me sometimes that people can't see it. You know, that nothing that they do really has anything to do with life. People may think it does. Oh, well, collecting paper, collecting the wage I need to pay to be alive. Yeah, this is what I need for my life. But how is that what you need for your life? It's only what you need for your life because you've been forced to live in a situation where you have to pay to be alive. But that's got nothing to do with life. None of it has. You know, people have this concept that they're free because they can roam around and buy all this stuff, but we're not free, we're free range. And there's a big difference. You know, life is such an incredible thing, and the human experience is such an incredible experience, and it's such a short experience. It should be a lot longer, I would suggest, if we weren't fed toxins and stuck in this Wi-Fi environment and all the stuff they're doing to it. And I would suggest it's going to get shorter and shorter, these lifespans. They certainly seem to be. We're told life is much better now. We are much healthier now than what we were a couple of hundred years ago. But really, I don't know. I look at my grandparents. They lived a lot longer than my parents, and my parents probably lived longer than I will live. So things don't seem to be improving at all. Things seem to be getting shorter. And people are just kept in this state where they're running around doing nothing and they're missing out on the experience of what life is and the incredible potential, the incredible creative potential of human beings. You know, in this situation that's coming, in the system that's coming, there won't be any creative potential, only government-approved creative potential, and you'll only be allowed to create that which serves the government or serves the system. No independent thinking will be allowed. That's the way we are allowing ourselves to be led due to our failure to pay attention. Like I said, you know, people have got to start getting involved in the education system, start getting involved in the political system, start looking at what the people that are running things are actually doing and questioning their actions and doing it from the perspective and the understanding that they're just people. You know, the government isn't this huge, powerful thing. It's just this idea that we have, and people go and perform functions in there. You know, but they're just people. And if the functions they're performing are destroying the world and making our lives hard, well, perhaps we should address that fact rather than just being good little sheep and doing what we're told. As I've said so many times, the psychopaths that run the world, they use all of our compassion and all of our humanity, all of our empathy, all of our good points, all the things that make us human, are what they use against ourselves. You know, we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to be nasty people. We don't want to have to say unkind words to people. So we don't really tend to stand up for ourselves too much because we just want to do the right thing and we want everybody to get along. And that's what the psychopaths count on. They count on us just complying. And most people do so, of course, under the threat of violence, because that's what they use against us to make us comply, is the threat of violence, which is terrorism by default. That's what the government uses to make you into a nice, compliant little sheep. They use terrorism, and again, they get away with it because we live in disunited communities. This is why I've said you need to connect with people. It's okay. Maybe you don't get along with your neighbors. Maybe they're just not good people next door. So I created the Full Circle Project so you could go and find people in your community. Why don't you use it? Why don't you find people in your community? Go and have meetings. Put up notices on public notice boards and just meet people. Get out there and talk to people. Go to the park. Feed the birds. Meet other people who feed the birds. Talk to them. Something. I don't know. Do what you can to meet people. Do what you can to break down the barriers with people. If you can't meet the people next door, well, go somewhere and meet some other people somewhere else. But just get out. Get out and about. Get out in the world. Don't take the tech with you. Just get out and try talking to people again, the way we used to. Go find a community garden and go and participate in a community garden. Go and put a couple of hours work in there once a week and get some free vegetables and get to know some of the other people who work at the community garden. You know, go join a UFO club or whatever. Even if you don't believe in UFOs, you'll get some people who think outside the box and maybe they'll want to talk about other stuff. Who knows? If you can't find something to join, maybe start your own. Put up a public notice and start your own meeting somewhere and just discussion groups, something. There's a whole world out there, folks, and there's a whole world of possibility, and I can't provide solutions for you in your own communities. You got to figure that out for yourself. I can only do what I can for my community. I get out and I travel and I do what I can for other communities as well, but I can really only do so much. But there are all sorts of ways of getting to know people and breaking down barriers with people. And the key to it all, the first step is opening the front door and going outside, getting off the computer, getting out of your lounge room, getting away from the television and going and actually involving yourself in the world. Not many people do that anymore unless they go out and meet a little social group somewhere or go to watch a movie or go to a nightclub or go to this or go to that. But try creating discussion groups. Just find somewhere where there's people talking about things and go and put your 2 cents worth in and see what happens. You might get rejected by 3/4 of the room, but then you might find there's 1 or 2 people in there that were actually quite interested in what you were saying. Who knows? But if you never go and try, you'll never find out. If you're going to wait for it to come knocking on your door, well, it's probably never going to happen. Perhaps one of the discussions you could have with people would be the nature of what violence really is. Because when you look at this system, what the system uses against us is violence. It uses intellectual violence, psychological violence, forcing us to comply with these rules all the time under threat of punishment. This itself is violence, even if they don't commit the violent act they will commit. Should you refuse to comply, it's the threat of the act itself that is violence. This is psychological violence that is being used against people, that forces them not to have a life and not to be able to have the means to get by in their life. You know, most people work so hard and they work their entire lives and they do it for virtually nothing in return. It's simply a slave wage, just enough for them to get by and get to work again the next week. And this is not living. This is not life. This is survival. It is subservience. Perhaps even having these types of discussions with people will cause people to want to stand up for themselves a little bit, which they can do simply by asking the right questions and asking the people who are demanding that they surrender their money to them and the people who are extorting their wages from them, how they believe they have the right to do so. Perhaps if people can see that this is a form of violence in itself, then they will stand up for themselves and stop this violence from being perpetrated against them. But again, you know, it's very hard for the individual to do without the support of the community around them. But if people can realize that we are all facing this same situation, we are all held under the threat of violence from people we employ to manage the system for us. How does this work? It only works because we are so disunited. You know, and unfortunately that is what has been promoted through this truth community as well. Now, the amount of attacks that members of the truth community and the amount of distrust that members of the so-called truth community tend to mount against each other, the effort that they go to undermine the work of other researchers when they should be directing their energy at the control system and undermining that, which they could do by uniting with all these people that they are choosing to make enemies of, it is incredibly frustrating to see, folks. It really is, and I've seen so much of it in the last 3 or 4 years. I really have. As I said, so many members of the so-called truth community posting videos about other people and just going out of their way to create as much distrust as possible. And it's like this huge gatekeeping operation that's just infected the entire independent media. You know, all these people attempting to spread distrust of others, what for? And it's because they've tried to speak out against the government for so many years and they've had no response, and so they're losing energy, so they've got to get energy from other people, but it doesn't achieve anything. All it does is serve the system. Find something that's going to unite people. Find something that's going to motivate the people around you into action, something positive you can bring them, something that's going to crack the shell in their awareness of reality, something that's going to help them see the matrix that they're living in and the direction that we're being led. But unfortunately, really what we need is something that's going to pull them away from the tech, and that is the hard part, getting people to put down their scrying mirrors, put down their mobile phones, and start participating in the world they live in. That really is the hardest part. And again, you know, there wouldn't be anything wrong with technology if it wasn't for the fact that the world is run by criminals, and the slight issue that no one seems to be addressing this fact. And everyone's just allowing this whole smart grid to be rolled out underneath everything while they're so busy arguing with each other. You know, people looking for a point of focus, something that's going to really wake the world up to the corruption that we're living in, well, it's the smart grid, folks. Look at it. Look at what it's doing. Look at what social crediting's doing. Look at the loss of life skills we've been subject to. And look at the direction that we're going. You know, what we've got here simply isn't sustainable. This whole economic system, the political system, none of it is sustainable. But at the same time, we have the entire earth at our disposal. We have all of the resources of the earth. We have a world of abundance that we could turn back into an abundant world if we were to simply withdraw our support from the control mechanism. And a lot of people complain and say, oh, I talk about government too much as well. I never talk about the workings behind it. Well, you go try getting at the workings behind it, folks. You can't get at the workings that are behind it because government's there, because you still give your support to the system. And if you want government to go away so you can get at the mechanism behind it and find out what's really going on, just withdraw your support from the system. But don't sit there and complain and say you hate the system and you want to know what's going on and you want to be free, but you're still using your credit card and your mobile phone, because that is the system. If you're shopping with a credit card, if you're using your mobile phone and you're using Facebook Messenger app and you're taking this little surveillance device with you everywhere and you're buying smart devices and you're getting smart meters installed on your home, then don't tell me that you're fighting the system, because you're not. You know, if you've got your head down a rabbit hole and you're going out there accusing anybody who doesn't think the world is flat of being a government agent, then you're working for the system as well, whether you know it or not. That's what a lot of the flat earth movement has actually done. Because of the polarized thinking, the concept, the accusation that if you dare think outside the box and if you dare not lock yourself into the flat earth belief system, you must be a government agent, is gatekeeping. That is a perfect gatekeeping operation, because it just creates division, it creates distrust, it drives a wedge into the community. And, you know, the flat earth community as well, they still won't address the issue of triangulation, why that shows curvature exists. Perhaps the earth is a lot bigger than what we are being told. Perhaps there's a lot wrong with the model that we're given. But it's the polarized attitude and the concept that if you do not think like I do, you are an agent. That is the gatekeeping mechanism that has been inserted into the entire flat earth movement, and it's just still running rampant. There are whole members of the flat earth community who dedicate themselves into spreading distrust about others. That's their whole mission in life these days, and it really is serving the government so well, and is so sad to see. Because there are a lot of good, genuine researchers in the flat earth movement, folks. I know there's people out there that aren't even going to like me saying that, but there are decent people in the flat earth movement, folks. I've met a lot of good people who generally just believe this. And so I wish those that buy into the official version would stop attacking them as much as they attack the globe earthers. But the way they attack people like me who don't buy into either model and who suggest there actually may be a bigger picture is very, very concerning and very, very revealing, because it shows that it's a gatekeeping operation. And I know that a lot of the flat earthers aren't going to like me saying that, but, well, that's what it is, folks, because that's what it's doing. It's preventing anything from moving forward. It's preventing any focus from ever being achieved. And that's what gatekeeping is, because that is what is allowing the system to just continue rolling forward You've got people there that are trying to make a difference, but they can't claw themselves above the noise. And many people who are trying to make a difference have to waste so much energy attempting to defend themselves that they just can't get anything done. And the government just sits back and smiles, and the system just continues to roll itself out. And that's what the play is. And that's what it's always been about. Divide and conquer is the motto, folks. Anybody spreading division and distrust is working for the government, whether they know it or not. Does that mean they're conscious gatekeepers? No, it doesn't, folks. It just means that they're programmed, because unfortunately many people are. They're programmed by their belief systems and by the suggestions they've received, and anybody who doesn't comply with their belief system must be their enemy. It's a very strange thing, folks. It really doesn't help things moving forward at all, and it would be great to see people just put down all the division, agree to disagree, realize that we don't really know anything because we simply don't have real information to look at. You know, all we've got is all this stuff that's led us to all these conclusions that we have no way of confirming. So let's establish the freedom to actually find out what's really going on here. Because we have a real opportunity to do it. That's why all this theatre is in the world, folks. That's why they've ramped things up so much. And why there's all of these theatres of conflict everywhere, while there's all these gatekeeping operations going on, there's all these accusations going on. Everything they can think of is being done to undermine the resistance and to promote division and distrust. But ultimately, it's up to us as to whether we choose to buy into any of it. We could just put it all down, turn and face the system and say, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to do something else, and then just turn and do it, because we certainly have the strength of numbers, and that's something that I would really like to see. So let's just put down all this stuff, folks. I mean, I've been suggesting to people for 10 years that they just put down all the stuff and turn and call the system out, and we still have a chance to do it, and really it's the only hope we've got of finding a way out of this mess. So let's just see if we can get a little focus. But folks, we've reached that time again where it's the end of the show, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. It's been a pleasure to come and talk to you today. Another bit of a rant. I will get a bit of focus back on the show soon. I want to bring you some more information about history as well, and I want to bring you some information regarding the history of Palestine at some stage as well. I think this is something that people need to get up to speed on, what's really going on there. They're facing a very bad situation, folks, the people in Gaza, in all of Palestine. And it is something that people do need to pay attention to. So we're going to be looking at that sometime in the near future as well. I actually have a plan for a show, folks, which is kind of unusual for me because I usually come in here reasonably unplanned. But I think Palestine is an extremely important issue. As I've said so many times, I think it is one of the keys we could use to heal the world, because it is an open war crime. Just the existence of Gaza Strip is a war crime. It doesn't matter what side you're on, which shows that every single politician in the Western world is in breach of international law. Every one of them who supports this rogue state is in fact a war criminal under the native laws of their own country, and each one could be arrested and removed from office straight away. Every single politician in the Western world, folks. So Gaza Strip does really provide a key for everybody, and I put out a little video not too long ago called Save Gaza, Save the World, A Message for Humanity. I recommend people go and have a look at that. But I just want to bring a little bit of attention to the situation in Palestine and let people know what really happened and how it came about to be in the situation that it currently is. So that's something that I want to do not too far down the track, because as I said, I think it is an extremely important issue. But that is it for me, folks. Again, I am speaking at Anacapulco in February, Mexico next year. You will find a banner to that on my website, thecrowhouse.com. If you click that banner and go buy yourself a ticket for Anacapulco, if you use the coupon CROWHOUSE, you'll find you'll get yourself a discount on the ticket. Thank you to all those people who send me so many wonderful emails and so many kind comments on this show. And I didn't mean to get too angry with you then when I'm saying, look, if you're using your mobile phone, you're part of the problem. I know people use their phones. It's just all the smart tech. It's the smart part of it. Use your phone for phone calls and things, but just don't surf the net on it. Don't use Facebook Messenger app. Don't use all this stuff that tracks every word you do and everything you say and every place you go. Just don't use it. Don't take these surveillance devices with you everywhere. It's just not a good idea, folks. But anyway, thank you for all the kind emails and the kind support you send me. Thank you, thank you, thank you to my Patreon supporters. Again, you are the only people who keep this show on the air. I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you. They've closed down all my other means of support, and that's all I've got left to me. So it's actually been quite difficult to sustain this path with all the restrictions that they've put on me. So thank you again for the support you give me, folks. None of this could get done if it wasn't for you. But that is it for me now, folks. I've completely run out of time. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In luck, Cash.